Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benty and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you some stories.
And that's why we're going to go back to when I met you. I put my own car in America's Beautiful Roadster, and it was garage built, hand built, not big money, but very creative.
It's very creative.
And
until I came over there and ruined it. Actually, that was Pete. It was not me. He was how I met him is he was stressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to bring his own personal car. Yeah. And he's watching the days tick away. I said, I'll shut my shop and I'll bring my guys over and we'll help you. You know, if you trust us.
What year was that?
It was 1912.
I think that
was the original 77,
right? 2007, I think. 2007? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, around there.
Well, that's a nice
So we just went over and helped any way we could because I've already been there, done that with that nonsense, and it's helpful when somebody with a enough pair of hands can come over and even lift something or hold something or tape something off or anything.
You know, that's kind of my argument about things like that. Because I even did an interview with, I think it was Ron Custer, Tim Burnsaw did an interview. Yeah. And he's like, and one of the questions was, well, you know, did it bother you that just as a regular guy, you were kind of outgunned by money and stuff? I'm like, no, not at all. As a regular guy, That's the pinnacle. That's the milestone that I wanted to try to achieve. So no, I wouldn't want it dumbed down. I want it to be
right. And same with me when I started doing my nonsense. My first two top 10 cars of the year. One was built in my underground parking garage at my apartment, and the other one was built in a friend's driveway.
This was for Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, the top 10 cars.
Yes.
And you know what? I wound up doing a ton of interviews through those years and different stuff. And as with Troy knows, people are like, well, what's the secret to the success? What's the drive? What's it? And the only thing I could come up with that I felt was true is that I'm too stupid to know I can't. So I just go do it.
A good place to
and that's right
be.
Where yes. he was. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take my cool little roadster, and I'm going to build a cool car, because why can't, if he can build a cool car, I can build a cool car.
That's how I got into this whole industry, is because I was poor, and I wanted cool stuff. So
you found a way to make the cool stuff.
I didn't, Amen. I was too stupid to
know that you couldn't.
So you just did it. If I want a cool car, I'm going to make a cool car.
Right. Yep.
When I was a kid, I used to, I had no money. It's like, I wanted to go surfing. So I got a book at the library, How to Shape Surfboards. Yeah. That didn't come out so well.
I drowned almost.
That's always how my brain has worked. It's like, I can do anything.
Give it a whirl.
Yep.
Exactly.
Where'd you grow up?
Huntington Beach.
Wasn't a big commute then, huh?
No, I used to. I mean, those days I would just ride my bike down to the beach.
Nice.
And, you know, now I mean, I don't. I guess people don't do that anymore. But you know, the Generation X era, I would just be gone all day, ride my bike to the beach,
Amen.
Surfing, whatever, have adventures.
That's really important. Like I said, it's just we're too stupid to know we can't.
Yep. Yeah.
So we just go do it, and then we just try real hard to do a cool whatever that is.
Yep.
And
yep.
show up with and go, hey, look what we did. You know, so and that's how we both launched our companies, is that whole mind frame of I'm just gonna
you had the drive to do it, so it wasn't like
because we're insane,
and that's what it takes. I mean, those are the folks who succeed as opposed to
I was living in my first shop.
Yeah.
I didn't have money for an apartment, so I joined a 24-hour fitness. Not to work out clearly, but I needed somewhere to freaking shower. So I joined a gym so I could have somewhere to shower.
I thought you had to plug in your power tools. No, that was in your parking garage.
Yeah, that's in the, you know, I did everything.
You did that too? I chopped my car in the carport of my apartment.
There you go.
There you go. These guys,
and
I took
the light bulb out of the middle and
put the plug into it. Yeah.
And then found the little timing box and broke the lock off and could turn the lights on.
So it'd stay on.
I had no work lights and somebody threw away this really bad like 70s lamp from the corner, you know, those posts with the anvil thing, and I rewired that, rebuilt it. That was my work light.
Was it a leg? No, it wasn't that bad.
It was close. And I would carry my little Craftsman three drawer toolbox down from my apartment down to the parking garage, and I've gone on record and filmed and told this story before, but I found the one outlet plug outside the apartment building.
There you go.
And bought it, and it was around the side of the building. Mm-hmm. So I got a whole bunch of extension cords, brought it around to the back, and I had a drill with a wire wheel onto the end of it and a putty scraper. Yeah. And the suspensions I got from Pick Your Part, mm-hmm. I'd scrape it, then wire wheel it, yeah. and then late at night, like 2-3 in the morning, I would that day before, I would go to the, you know, Home Depot or the hardware store and buy those. It's like 8x12 piece of plastic you put down when you're going to paint a room.
Sure.
And I covered every one of my neighbor's cars and I hung the suspension parts on the water pipe and epoxy spray painted them because I wanted to at least a halfway decent spray paint.
Sure.
Because I wanted to bad enough.
Yeah.
Most people would be like, F this.
That's the key.
I didn't have a driveway or a garage. I'm in a shared tandem parking space in an apartment in Studio City, California. But right in that freaking ridiculous space, I built a car with no money, none. It got feature, cover, top 10 car of the year because I'm too stupid to know I can't, and I just went and did it. And that is exactly what
I believe it's all about.
Super Mondo here is the same way.
You just got to want it bad enough.
You got to want it bad enough.
You know, and I there are so many instances where, like, I need this. And if somebody like, well, there's a guy that you can pay. Like, no, I don't have money.
You're not going to pay him.
I did exchange work. Did you? My paint job, I paid for and built the small block and rebuilt the suspension in his C10, and he painted the car for me.
Oh, I got this one. How about this one? I got...
Hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt, and and I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt lengths on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of ARP. And we've all got stories on all that stuff.
Well, but, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
But the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope.
We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance. They have Modern Rodding. And my favorite, All Chevy Performance, with Nick, my buddy Nick,
who's
the editor.
Oh, you're so biased.
So, yes, of course. But it's a fantastic book. They're doing print media, which is, of course, our favorite. So
in color and everything.
In color and everything. Yes. And you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, which is a fun deal.
Great tech.
You know, not always written by me.
Famous people.
Not always written by me.
That's right.
Just pick it up and read it.
At InTheGarageMedia.com. And they're our friends, and they will thank you.
I got this one.
Yeah, we're gonna start swapping like sad stories. I had they had a metal shop class at Golden West College, and so I would take that over and over. And there was Monday, Wednesday, and a Tuesday,
so
Thursday.
You can use their equipment.
So I'd take them both classes, and then there was a paint class on Saturdays. So I would just go there and every semester just take them over and over and over. And
to then use the machines.
To use the stuff. So they had a paint booth. And so I painted parts multiple cars. No, the whole car.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Right? And you find a way.
But the thing is, you were learning too.
Yes.
You're learning lots. Probably from mistakes, which heaven knows I learned a lot.
And I learned some things not to do.
Right.
I found an easier way. There's an easier way. What we used to do is...
You're a magazine editor. You
work
for a magazine. Told people to do
and
it.
You just show up and people do the shit that you need them to do. But anyway, but we did the same thing. Of course, we all did the same stuff. We did it, you know, wire wheels and all the stuff we used to do. You'd find dipping stuff and do whatever you could. But the deal was that you had to do it that way because the parts were too much money and we had nothing. But then of course, you know, working on the magazines, you got a lot of access to a lot of folks like you guys.
I got to watch it and
learn from that. But we all did the basic stuff, you know, pick your part, finding parts and pieces.
Which I love that scavenger hunt.
It was the best. And now you can't do it. They don't even let you in there. But I had a 65 Chevrolet Impala 396, and at 32 miles an hour, the whole thing would just go like this. Well, I pick your part, get new sway bars and tie rod ends and all that. Not new, just used.
Just not as bad as yours.
It just would, it would be bad. Well, you fix them up. I mean, tighten them up and the whole bit. But the car, you know, you just did pick your part. It was just the way it was. You had to.
Yeah, we used to go there every weekend, and you just kind of stumble around there. Yeah, and
you bet.
Memory lane.
You never knew what you'd find
there.
Oh,
yeah, that. Oh,
memory lane was awesome.
That was still there when I started Hollywood Hot Rods.
I made friends with him early on, and that place, you told him what you wanted, and his guys went out back and got it for you.
Right.
And he allowed me because he knew that I wouldn't screw up other parts to get to that part. I was respectful. He liked what I was building at the time. So I was allowed to go back there with my own tools and get and that place was awesome.
Yeah.
That place was just rows of 50s and 60s. And I'm like,
he had good stuff there.
Yeah, that was a cool place. Yeah, that's a bummer that stuff's not available because we know there's younger gearheads.
Right.
And they don't even get, they would take the advantage if it existed and they...
Yeah.
There's less and less junkyards to go even...
Especially here in Southern California. I mean, I would imagine there's probably more...
Maybe in the Midwest and all.
Stuff like that. Probably.
But even the 60s cars by now are like...
They've been picked over. Picked over and crushed.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
We were very lucky to be alive in a certain time frame where in the junkyards there are actually 50s and 60s and 70s cars still with a lot of their parts on them. Not rusted into the ground, where you can actually get parts and pieces and do that really cool scavenger hunt. And then you learn stuff too. You're like, "Ooh, I never saw that dash before. That's cool," right? And so it was a learning experience too. You like, or just trim different things that you hadn't seen before in other cars because it just wasn't the normal in your wheelhouse. And you'd see one of those, like, "What's that?"
You know? In the early '80s, when I did work on the magazines, I bought every muscle car there was. 70 Trans Am, Boss 302, 6Z28. They were all $1,500, $2,000.
Mm. No, that's so disgusting.
They were. That's what they cost. That's why we were talking about that 69 Camaro that we got from
McCarthy. From Dennis.
Like, oh, my God. In my mind, I'm the 69 Z28. I paid $3,000 for mine. And it was
not there.
No.
My second car, right out of high school, I was 19, and I bought a 36 Ford 5-window coupe.
Oh, that's cool.
And I paid $1,900
for it. There you go.
And the guy that I bought it from.
Was it decent?
It was very decent. Right. It was, a matter of fact, it didn't take much to get running. Because the guy that I bought it from, the drivetrain had already been changed over to like 39, so it had juice brakes and a 39 trans. And he gave me the choice. He's like, "I'll give you this 283 small block Chevy or this flathead."
Nice.
And that'll help you get it going. I didn't even know what a flathead was. So I'm like, I picked the Chevy. Yeah. And he's like, "Okay." And then he gave me this homemade adapter.
Bell housing adapter.
Yep. So I put the 283 in behind the 39 trans.
Great little motor, by the way. I like 283s.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah,
and I just drove that thing to school, and I drove it, and I would break the axles. I saw my rear wheel pass me up a couple of times because you know the banjo rear ends and et cetera. Same thing. It was like just necessity and drive. I really wanted that car.
Yeah.
So I got magazines, and Street Rodder magazine was. Basically how I was able to build, because I didn't know what a 36 Ford was. I had no car background.
Basis for comparison.
No, right. And I had nobody in my family that did cars.
Right.
My first car was a 66 Mustang, and it was given to me, and when it broke and you're poor, you learn how to fix it. So that was my introduction. And then I realized the 66 Mustang is actually kind of cool. And then I decided I need to go street racing, and that's a whole other story. So I used to do a lot of that, and then I bought the 36. But
very cool.
But I would go to the library, how to weld, okay, how to bend, then the magazines, and then there was a rental U-Haul that I would go rent a welder, oxyacetylene torch, and just in my dad's driveway, I built that 36 and drove it.
That's cool.
So
that's great stuff. That's great stuff. Yep.
And that's another key thing, though. Never be above learning.
Yeah.
Always go, "I don't know that. How do I do that?" Go find out how. Especially now, though, it's a blessing with the millions of actually good information on YouTube, and because there are good information, but there's stuff to weed through that may not be the right way to weld or fill in the blank also, yeah. But what a golden age to find information, just like going to the library and checking out books. But that the story doesn't end there. It's going, renting the welder, learning how to do it, burning holes, yeah,
ruining
things,
stuff, yeah,
and then getting it right. And the desire to want to build and create and see something come to fruition through your hands, from your imagination. Sure. If you have that, your drive will be there. But never, ever fear learning and trying to find out how.
Well, YouTube has really done a nice job of getting you at least through the door that, so that you know some of the parameters.
So much information.
There's
like,
so
again,
much there.
Back then, it was magazines and books.
Yes, right. What
still, else? Information.
No more magazines. Yeah. So
and,
anyway.
But then you had to take matters into your own hands.
Correct.
Literally.
You literally
and
had to do
I've
it.
Met, I've met like builders who maybe think they know it all or have that.
That's the first wrong statement to ever make.
Yep. Sure. Yep. If you think you know it all, or if you think you're that good, then you're done.
You're done.
You're never going to move forward
because
you're always learning.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, the more I learn, the more I learn that I don't know stuff.
Right.
Well, yeah, every single day you're like,
right?
I didn't even know they could do that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's,
exactly.
It's, and to push in for me, I need to always have the next challenge. Like I think this necessity sickness where I don't know, I can't afford to do this, so I need to learn how to do it. I think it's so ingrained in my head that now I just have to do new challenges.
Right.
There's always has to
Test
be
me.
A new
the,
thing.
The thing
you know?
Is as I've watched you, you are phenomenal with bending art and technology to your will, or not your, not your will, your God dang it, I'm going to find a way to make that work inside of this old part.
Right.
But inside it's going to be this newfangled electronic thing that's going to make this and that work. And that's territory that hasn't been explored before. So, you know, might be meat, might be cake. You have no idea,
I love
right?
that stuff.
I know you do. You shine at it.
And way back when on my little car that you helped with in 2007, it was a 392 Hemi with real Hillborn. I love the Hillborn canted stack.
Yeah, like off of Suddenly.
Yes. Yeah. And I decided that I was going to hide electronic injectors and run it by computer and put it to this.
Awesome.
Now, that's pretty common now.
Right.
But
wasn't
then. It wasn't then.
No,
it was tricky.
It. Yeah.
You know, and I always even go too far where I had this old Spalding flamethrower distributor. It's a dual coil distributor. And I really wanted that to work because it's so cool looking. Same thing. It's a vintage piece that is so unique. Like,
right.
There's got to be a way to make
to
that
put
work.
The new gear
right.
inside
yep,
of that thing.
Yep.
Right.
So, I mean, I ended up like putting two sensors in there, then using Porsche igniters to bump up the current for coils.
So
then
there you go.
The Haltech
How cool
computer
is that?
Could run
wow.
in Ferrari mode, which Ferraris had two distributors. So it was a whole thing, but I got there.
Wow.
And that was exciting to me. And then,
yeah.
you know, that's I love
but
that.
But that's the drive.
Yeah.
And that win
yeah.
obviously motivates you for the next win. So
yeah.
those are all things that come from.
And win isn't necessarily at a car show with a trophy.
No.
Win
no,
is
no.
it functions and worked.
Exactly. We're not talking about a trophy for your
yep.
mantle. No.
That's right.
Field goal. That just went down the road.
That's right.
And worked.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's a very good that you clarify that. For me personally, I work towards wins all the time, and a win for me is accomplishing something that I haven't done before.
Right.
And the idea was brought to fruition, and it's actually functioning.
Yep. I mean, a perfect example, we've been doing land speed lately. I'm so excited about land speed racing because we're running a 29 Ford Roadster pickup, and I'm using a Honda engine. No, we're running a K20 four-cylinder Honda, and that's so different for me. And it's so, but because it's so unique, it's so exciting. So
what class is that running at?
Blown gas modified roadster.
Oh, okay.
And we're in the G class, which means it's 122 cubic inches or less.
Or less.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So just for
an
everybody.
An untapped class, kind
right.
of, sort of.
Kind of. It had a soft record at 186.
Well,
so we got 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
1,000 horsepower out of 122 inches.
Wow.
Which is like
mind blowing.
Wow. Mind blowing.
Wow.
And I love it.
And it should be cool in anyone's book.
It should.
Did it set the record?
Or is it going?
We're working on it. Okay. We did set the record.
Is it going to run this year?
We've already run it twice last year. We're gonna keep going. So we're totally getting sidetracked now. But we set
stuff.
Took the 186 to 196 and set the record.
Nice.
Of a 14-year record that hadn't been tested. And then the next day, some of these other guys came and bumped it to 211.
No.
I know. I was like, no. But we're in it for hats anyway.
Sure.
We want the red hats.
Right.
So 196 doesn't get you a red hat. You have to be over 200.
Correct.
So then
twice.
We ended up, twice.
Both ways.
And so then we ended up doing that trip 202.
Okay.
And then car broke, and that was that. Okay. So we still didn't back up the 202.
Right, I get it.
And it wasn't over the 211.
Got
so
it.
And that was with 700 horsepower. So we went back with 1,000, and we did 201, 202, 203, 24, and then we did a 218. And
so now you're.
But the car caught on fire.
Yeah.
So we couldn't back it up.
Is this your first endeavor into land speed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the motivation?
Oh, welcome to frustration.
Yeah.
So what was the motivation? Somebody who came to you and said, build me a car?
My best customer, Bruce.
Yeah.
The guy with the Mulholland.
Okay. Yep. And he's like, a few years back, he had an idea of getting red hats. And he's like, do you want to get a red hat? I'm like, I want to get a red hat. He's like,
sure. Yeah, like, you bet.
I'll tag along for a red hat.
You bet.
So we were going to do it with he bought a Ford GT, 2005, GT supercar, and that's what he was going to run, and that didn't work out.
Those are awesome cars.
And then his wife said, no, not for you, you're not doing this. And then at Mix, this Jeff Stillwell.
Oh, yes.
He was talking to Jeff, and he's like, oh, you should just do it, and you can borrow a car. And then Mix said, no, you can't really borrow a car. So long story short, sorry, it's already too long, but we bought a car
for
this guy, Kev Elliott. You know Kev Elliott?
Editor, Kev. He was at Rod and Custom for a while.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, sure.
So he built a car with Rod and Custom a few years back.
That's his truck.
It's his truck, yes. Okay.
I know the truck.
There you go.
I know.
Yes.
He used it. It was a feature that he kept working on and modifying and changing.
Just like you were saying, getting free stuff for being a magazine editor.
There you go.
So,
rat bastard. Using your facility. Yeah. But using their facilities. That was the other part. Eddie Paul used to be a customizer down in Elsinga. You know Eddie Paul?
Mm.
Eddie Paul was a crazy man, but great friend. And we used to shoot all our cars there, do all the work there. We used his facility, and that was a great place to be because he had all the tools because we had nothing. So anyway,
We bought his car just to get licensing runs.
Nice.
But it had only gone 100, the top it had gone under Kev was 154.
Got it.
It had a Ford Focus engine, which is also 2 liters, SB2.
Four-cylinder, yeah.
Yeah. 350 or something horsepower to that, which was pretty cool for a little Ford Focus.
Sure,
yeah.
But the first time we took it out, well, it got rained out, and then, Bonneville is just, like, talk about frustration.
Yeah.
Ugh. But the first time we actually ran it, blew up, put holes every which way, and what was pretty cool is the whole bottom end of the engine was gone, but it would still run on two cylinders. You could see everything going, like one of those cutaways.
Visible V8.
It was
there
neat.
You there you go.
So that was
the
idea.
It was neat until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. So the motivation was, hey, let's license up. Let's try it.
Sure.
See if it's something that we like.
Right.
And no intent really at the time to break a record with that car because it had no way of doing
that. Sure.
It was just to try it.
Yeah.
And then when we blew it up, I was talking to Bruce. I'm like, so what do you want to do? Did you get out of your system? Are we still doing it? I said, I didn't even get to drive. And he's like, we're going.
That's
We're doing it.
That lit the fuse.
We're doing
it.
So he's
literally.
So he's like, rebuild it.
Yeah.
But fast.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I did my research.
1,000 horsepower.
And I was looking at Acura or Honda, and we settled on the K20 Honda.
Got it.
And there's a company that in called Four Piston Racing back Midwest somewhere.
Okay.
And they boast that their engines can handle 1,800 horsepower.
Oof, so, man.
Yeah. And
we got room to grow.
So we had them build us the long block, and we opted for a billet block. I mean, if you're going to do it.
Sure, why not?
So it's a solid billet. It's so
cool
looking.
And that's allowable in the class. You can do that in the class.
Yeah.
It's just the
it's just the inches.
Just the numbers. Okay.
Yeah, we're blown gas, so we can do a supercharger or whatever. So we got a turbo. And that was the fun part, is figuring out how to make this contraption work. So we need obviously a turbo, and we need a whole bunch of boost.
Right.
We don't need a radiator anymore.
Yeah.
So let's put it's a pickup truck.
Yeah,
let's build an ice tank in the bed of the truck.
Nice.
And then run a water-to-water intercooler.
Nice.
And I have that running off the off the ECU, because I like the fuel injection, the tech part of it a lot too.
Sure,
so
sure.
I did all of that. I have a tuner that was recommended by one of the guys that worked for me, and
nice.
they do drift stuff called their Apex, big drift company down in Orange County.
I know who they are.
Apexi,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Apexi, something
yes.
like that.
Yeah, sounds right.
And so he said, hey, can you use the Link ECU? I'm like, all right, I'll use whatever ECU. And then he's like, so he'll tune it. So, you know, I just kind of got opinions.
Nice.
And we just made up our own thing, and the packaging is so cool because
right.
all of this fits in a little tight nose.
That's right. More wins, more wins. Not trophy wins, but more wins.
Yeah, it's brain wins for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
success.
I think that's and yeah. then once we took it out and all of those theoretical things that we've kind of made up,
right.
when they worked, you're like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things was we got rid of the radiator. We built a water tank next to the passenger, and we don't. I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no cooling whatsoever. We thought we'd have to put ice in it. We
sure.
could do that. I made it for ice, but then we took it out, ran all day. The engine never saw more than 150 degrees.
Wow.
And it's 108 degrees ambient.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, that's a win. Like, that worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, even
some of the science changes when you're up there.
And yeah, the intercooler, too. I mean, we saw 80 degrees on the compressed, 50 pounds compressed intake charge.
Wow.
And it's 108 degrees out.
Yeah.
So that means we were taking what? Taking the intake charge from like 150 down.
Cooling
to
it down.
Yeah.
Way down.
So anyways, sorry, I just got all techie
good.
And weird, but I get excited. Those are the wins.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
That's what this show, that's
well,
what
yeah.
this show
that's
is
the,
about.
The
to
nerdy
show that stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And on the flip side of the coin, I have my little Model A race car that I was... I've been racing in like nostalgia drag racing and stuff, and that one of the things for that car is like, I want... a street-driven car that can do 10-second quarter miles with Strombergs. So
wow, okay, that's very cool.
So I did that, and now
I love it.
Now I ditched the Strombergs.
How many
six?
Strombergs? I was gonna say okay.
Yeah, six on a 392 with 10 pounds of boost on a 671.
Oh, very cool.
Blower. So I did that.
Huh.
And now I ditched the Strombergs, and now I want to go faster, see if I can get into the nines. And
yeah.
it just challenges
so go,
and wins.
Go
challenges and wins.
Fuel injection.
No.
What are you going to do?
Not on
I got
that
four
car.
Barrels. Yeah, not on that car. It's a tradition.
Okay.
It has to be a legit traditional car as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot. There's that rule.
Okay.
It's period correct.
For the car.
On that car.
Right.
On
not
that.
In the racetrack.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're different worlds.
Different worlds, yeah.
Right.
So it's just fun. Fun with
very
cars.
Fun.
I mean.
Fun with cars.
Is that the car? Is that the car guy confession?
That's
fun.
I have a
carcane problem.
Carcane problem. I like that one.
That's good. I like it. I like it a lot.
But all of those things, I think I'm like all encompassed with like drag racing is cool. I mean, I did my first land speed racing. I licensed up to 185. That's a thrill.
Yeah.
You know.
You're licensed up to 185.
185. Yeah.
Nice.
I haven't got to my 200 yet.
Yeah.
And then drag
that'll
is.
Come.
I've been
yeah.
doing mid 10-second quarter miles in a little Model A. That's fun. At 130
yeah.
miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah.
So, anyways,
all good.
That's my confession, I guess.
I like it.
I'm obsessed.
That's right.
We started talking about show cars, but.
So what are you taking? What are you taking to the Grand National this year?
In my booth, we'll have two bare metal cars: a 33 Roadster and a 34 Coupe.
Well, there's the bare metal you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
it just shows off workmanship and cool.
Sure.
A lot of really cool. The 34 Coupe is just so cool. I love that car. It's one of my favorite cars in our shop. We've had it for a while.
Yeah.
And then the little Roadster. It's neat. It's got a lot of neat stuff that we've done. It started off as more of a street roddy car,
yeah.
and we've tried to, you know, turn it around into something
yeah.
different. So that because so those two cars will be in our booth, and then the Mulholland and the Gaunt Coupe will be in the Hall of Fame building.
Another win with trophies this time.
Sure.
That's it. And you know what that means? It's time to wrap up.
Oh, really?
Oh.
It is.
Are we done?
Is that a win? We just won the
We went 2 hours.
Have we provided
close to it. Yes.
Ample knowledge?
Apparently.
Have we?
Apparently,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Nothing got here, anyway.
Okay.
Haven't done an interview,
car.
Especially with you, where we ran out of words.
No.
No.
No, we never ran
no.
out. All of these shows, it's interesting. There are like one or two times. We've done over 100 episodes.
Mm. Yeah, we just broke 100 episodes.
One or two times we have...
flamed out.
Had to stop for a second. No, we never ended.
Oh, no.
We actually stopped. We actually, because we just roll. as you can tell.
Well, we've had a couple where we brought him in a second hour.
Yeah.
Randy Lorenzen.
Well, that's what's happening.
He's got stories.
Oh, that's yeah. And they
Randy's
were crazy.
Got stories. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're fantastic. They're arguably my favorite episodes were the two with Randy.
Yeah,
just because it's like, what? But it did what?
But these two are going to supersede that, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to crush his fragile eagle.
Exactly. No. I was trying to strive for perfection.
So anyway. Everybody's got to make their way out to the Grand National Roadster Show, which is the 31st and then 1st and 2nd of February. And you can meet stunning, amazing people like Troy Ladd.
That's it.
Right? See?
And Steve Strope's hair.
So
both are going to greet you at the door as you walk in.
We will. We're going to be the greeters.
It's my side job.
But you can come see all the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's a building six, where the Sloniker cars will be. Right. And you come and you look around. Make up your mind. Do your own judging and see what you think of the
cars. It's a great year to do that, because in that one building, you'll have a whole bunch of past Amber and past Slonikers, and you can really compare side by side.
Oh, and see the evolution, too.
Yeah.
And this year for Sloniker, I don't even know everything, but I know of a VW thing set up like a pre-runner or a trophy truck.
Fun.
I know of a twin turbo Boss 429 Pantera coming. I know the Ironworks 35 Chevy.
Yeah.
And I've already seen up at SEMA, I saw a whole eye full of spy shots from Cal Automotive. The car wasn't completely done, but he's bringing a 34 Plymouth, and it's
stunning, huh?
It's on par with his Buick, according to him. So, oof. And then and I warned against this, not against it. I warned of it. I want to choose my words careful. I never said against it. I said, if one of these, the big high roller guys from the low rider group come over, there's a lot of work in those cars.
Oh, huge.
And we've got a low rider coming.
Oh boy.
So that's not even all 12. So I know of this super mega insane fabricated VW thing and a Pantera and a 34 Plymouth and a 35 Chevy and a, I think it's an Impala, the lowrider is. But that alone.
Well, I think there's some clues. I saw some clues on Instagram and things of other builders that I know that said, pushing for a Roadster Show, doing a Sloniker. And I don't even know what the cars are. I'm like, geez.
So I think this year is going to be really interesting for our judging staff, because there's every year the bar is going up and people are swinging for this award now. But the cool thing about Sloniker is it's anything, as long as it's not a Roadster. I mean, anything can show up.
And here's the thing that we didn't really even touch on, talking about the car show stuff, is, I mean, we might be a little biased because we're judges, but Sloniker is really meant to be an all-encompassing, like we talked about,
design excellence,
and visual. We sit back and we look at how the car flows.
Oh, we watch them when they pull in. We watch them drive. We look how the guy is sitting in the seat.
Right.
So
we look at everything,
which is a big deal.
And yes, it is.
Some other things.
And I'm glad it's awesome that it's getting bigger and bigger, because the idea is, again, in my opinion, this is a better, better version of judging than, say, the Riddler. Because the Riddler is like point-based. So a points-based show, you can end up with some pretty wacky-looking stuff.
Just because they're going for the point.
Just because they're...
Not because it was tasteful.
Yeah.
We don't run that way.
Minus last year, actually, Kendall's car was good. That's a beautiful car.
Yes, the Corvette was very impressive.
But like other previous years, you could get some pretty wacky things. And it's because of... The not stepping back. They're not stepping back. And
they're going for points.
Going for points. Yeah. And so, again...
We don't judge that way.
In my opinion. And Amber is also the same way. Not points, I mean. It's the same way. There's a... It's
image,
visual,
feel,
like all
vibe.
Of the all-encompassing, which is a really hard way to judge, because it gets a little bit, subjective.
Muddy. I get it.
Yes. But ours, we have to, this year I'm talking about, we have to go over there and look at the lowrider for a lowrider.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't like lowriders.
Right,
that's your problem. The problem is that appropriate for that kind of a build?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, then he's on the mark. Let's see how he did.
Like the Volkswagen Buddy. Type 1 Restoration. That's the name of the shop, right?
Yes.
Shout out to Buddy, because he's the guy that almost beat me at Sloniker.
Yeah.
It was a Volkswagen. It was a Volkswagen.
And it was an awesome Volkswagen. I know we're supposed to go.
This was the Grand National Roadster Show, and there's a freaking Volkswagen right there.
And it's crushing.
Yeah, and it was
and that's
scary.
Why Sloniker is awesome.
Yeah.
So come check it out. Come out and see John Buck's little display of awesome cars.
Right.
And you can meet. We're going to be there filming live.
Yes, we're going right? to be on
And
on
Jeff
stage.
Smith will actually be with us.
That's the example. Pull him out of
That's Iowa. What he's threatening.
Right. And Abe Froman. Abe Froman with a Bollywood.
Abe Froman. Wow. Do you know what Abe? That would be
Ferris Bueller's.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller. Oh, good. Nailed it.
The Sausage King.
Sausage King from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's right. Wow. I wonder how many people would have got that.
I think a lot of them.
Four.
Four. A lot of them. He just said a lot of them this age.
They're all in the room.
14. Fine. And we're brought to you by ARP-bolts.com. We're here at the Peterson Museum.
Peterson Museum. Exactly.
So you got to go buy some bolts and you got to come here and look at some awesome cars.
That's it.
Do it.
Thank you.
Later.